the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
our Father,
our Father in heaven,
your name be honored as holy.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us
from the evil one.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory forever.
Amen.
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 Our daily bread in the prayer, to me, is kind of a structure to remind me that no matter how much control I think I have in my life, when it all boils down, I have none.
God's always going to provide for us. He knows what we need to get by. It's our daily bread. I think that Jesus included this petition in his prayer so that we are always dependent upon God and not ourselves.
To give us what we need for his kingdom to come.
To give us our daily bread is really just a reminder of the fact that everything around us, every good thing that's in our life, every bit of money, every bit of food, every bit of housing, AC, heat, all these things are allowed into our lives because God has allowed it.
So I think Jesus included this petition in the prayer because we are to rely on God for every need, whether it's big or something as small as your daily sustenance.
The jobs we have, the cars we drive, the power that's generating lights in our house, it's not there because of something we did. It's because God chose to give it to us.
That's what we should really be praying for every day, and knowing that he is going to provide, he is going to give us that daily bread we need.
The fact that we have a breath, God has given the air so that we can breathe every day. And so it's a reminder to rely on God for every single need that we have, that nothing is guaranteed and God is completely in control of it all. And so just continually coming to God with gratitude, knowing that the only reason you're here still today is because of him.
Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all our moms out there. We planned on thanking all of our ladies this morning with a special gift in honor of Mom, but since we're meeting only online, we're holding on to your gifts until we can reconvene, which we hope will be soon. Be watching for a very special announcement to come. But this morning, just let me begin this way. Ever since Plato, it has been said that necessity is the mother of invention. However, the part of the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at this morning teaches that some necessities are even more than that. There are some necessities that even our Father, which art in heaven, acknowledges, and acknowledges that we just can't provide for ourselves, no matter how creative our attempted solution. And that's why among the six or seven things that Jesus taught his disciples to pray for is this one. Give us this day our daily bread. Just the bare minimum that a person needs to survive. Not filet mignon, mind you. Not death by chocolate, which would have been my preference. No, just a little flour and water baked. And if you're lucky, a little butter or milk or yeast, maybe a pinch of salt thrown in. Maybe a little honey and raisin and fruit inside, or some sugar and cinnamon swirls folded in. A little caramel glaze on top. Maybe like one of those hot cross buns that the church gave us on Easter weekend. Those were good, weren't they? How many like those hot cross buns the church gave us? Or how about one of Betsy Wright's homemade cinnamon rolls? Have you ever had one of those? If I had one of those heart buttons that you have to press, I'd be pressing it like crazy right now for one of Betsy's cinnamon rolls, because that's the kind of bread I want to pray for. But nope, Jesus says, just plain bread, a little flour, and water baked. In fact, the Greek word from which the kind of bread that Jesus says we're to pray for comes from is a word that simply means to rise, something that has risen. A little flour and water that has risen and been baked. Just plain bread. And by teaching us to pray for such a simple thing, Jesus teaches us that we need to learn that we are not nearly as self-sufficient as we sometimes pretend to be. Every one of us have needs, real needs, and some of them are desperate needs. We're speaking of food and clothing and shelter. We all need food to eat. We all need water to drink. We need air to breathe, as well as dozens of other things. But just those three are big. The big three, some people call them. Take any one of those three away, food, water, or air, and it won't be very long until we all shrivel up and blow away. How long would it take? Some people call it the rule of threes. Most people can survive 3 weeks without food. I would not want to try. 3 days without water, but only 3 minutes without air. That's how desperately we truly need some things. And our Father, which art in heaven, knows that we need them. In fact, that's the very thing Jesus said immediately prior to teaching us this prayer. Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Your Father knows. And the question could be asked, if our Father which art in heaven already knows, then why do we need to ask? And the answer is, or at least one of the answers is, because our Father which art in heaven knows that we need to learn that we are not nearly as self-sufficient as sometimes we pretend to be, and that we need to leave this idea of self-dependency. We need to wash our mouths out with soap and water every time we even suggest that we have somehow pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps, that we have somehow by our own hard work or clever ingenuity, maybe even because of our own political leanings, we have supplied all on our own all that we need. When the truth of the matter is, if the severe drought of the Dust Bowl back in the 1930s had continued to blow from then until now, we would have all dried up and blown away a long time ago. I wish I could show you some of the pictures from those years where these huge dust storms just absolutely covered the Western Plains, and whole farms and villages and towns were buried beneath it. And all the people could do was run inside and hide and pray that it would soon all blow over. And I don't know who first said it, but I first heard it from Paul Harvey before he passed away. I guess he was quoting from some farm equipment association when he said it, but Paul Harvey said this: "Despite all our achievements, we owe our existence to a 6-inch layer of topsoil and the fact that it rains." Despite all our achievements, we owe our existence to a 6-inch layer of topsoil and the fact that it rains. And folks, that's no exaggeration. Take either one of those away and we would dry up and blow away. That's how precarious life is upon the earth. And we're learning from this coronavirus that life is even more precarious than that. Now we're talking about something even smaller than a raindrop that's taking life after life after life by the tens of thousands all over the earth. So we're trying our hardest to develop a vaccine and some kind of a therapeutic remedy. We're self-quarantining. We're trying to corner this thing. We're trying to level out the curve by practicing social distancing and testing and contact tracing and more quarantining. Meat packing plants are shutting down. Crops are being plowed under. Livestock are being euthanized. War power acts are being evoked to keep up with ventilator and personal protective equipment demands. Some of us are wearing masks and gloves when we go out and using hand sanitizer and disinfectant wipes until we have cleaned them off the store shelves. We're having to learn how to wash our hands all over again. We're trying to keep our hands below our shoulders, away from our faces. Some of us are refusing to go out of the house or go back to work. We're working from home or not working at all. Some business owners are being jailed for refusing to keep their businesses closed. Why? Why are we doing all this? Because of something that might be out there over which we have had to acknowledge we really have no control. And the truth of the matter is, there have always been things out there over which we have had no control. Self-dependency is a myth, and it has always been. When God created Adam and Eve, he didn't just send them off on their own. No, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And where a river flowed out of Eden to water that garden, because God knew, as ingenious and industrious as the man and the woman would become, they would never be able to stand on their two feet alone. The Father knew they would always need help, and we still do. The Father knew they would always need help. And we still do. That's why the Lord gives us mothers. Because without them, the young wouldn't survive. Not too many of us fathers would survive either. But that's a different story that I don't want to get into. My wife may be watching. But our world needs mothers. And that's why our Father, which art in heaven, gives them to us. Because he knows we need them. I just did a memorial service for a family this past week. And my heart breaks for them because a family has lost their mother and their grandmother. And I know how hard it's going to be for them now that she's gone. Because we need our mothers just about as much as we need our daily bread. We need to learn that we're not nearly as self-sufficient as sometimes we pretend to be. And we need to leave this idea of self-dependency. We need to lean on our Heavenly Father who wants to hear us ask Him for these things that we need in prayer. Even things as simple as our daily bread. Now, that's what the children of Israel had to learn as they wandered around the wilderness in the Old Testament. They had to learn to lean on their Heavenly Father to take care of them because they had no provisions to take care of themselves out there for 40 years. But what they did have was a Heavenly Father who heard their prayers and answered their prayers by providing manna in the morning for 40 years. In the morning, Exodus 16 says, when they woke, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." And the house of Israel called its name manna, a Hebrew word that actually means something like, "What is it? What is it?" They saw it and they said, "Manna. What is it? What is it?" It was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. I've always imagined it to be something like vanilla wafers. How many of you remember those vanilla wafer cookies? When I grew up, I finally got the nerve to ask Dad why he and Mom always bought vanilla wafer cookies. Didn't he and Mom know that we kids didn't really care for them? And Dad said, "That's why we bought them." And that's why God gave us moms and dads, because he knew we needed them. And the Israelites ate that manna 40 years, and they learned to lean upon their heavenly Father in the process. They needed to eat as well to survive upon the earth, sure. They needed their daily bread, but they also needed to learn to lean upon the heavenly Father in the process as well. And learn they did. As the manna fell, they wrote songs about how the Lord had taken care of them so that those songs could be sung to their future generations who would never see with their own eyes the manna in the morning that came, in hopes that those future generations might also learn that they could lean upon their heavenly Father for what they needed as well. The 78th Psalm in the Bible is one of those songs. And in it, the writer reminds those future generations to come how the Lord commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. And he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. And man ate the bread of the angels because the Lord sent them food in abundance. What a beautiful way to state it. You tell me that generation didn't learn their lesson? And that's why we need to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Because God wants to hear it, and we need it. But our future generations need to hear us asking for it as well. They need to hear that we have learned that we are not nearly as self-sufficient as sometimes we pretend to be, and that we have left this idea of self-dependency long ago. We have learned to lean on our Father who art in heaven, who wants to hear us ask him for the things we need in prayer. And that goes for our spiritual needs as well. It all starts with an acknowledgement of our need of and our request for something as simply as our daily bread, a basic necessity of life. But it leads to our acknowledgement of how impoverished and unprepared we are when it comes to eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died." Now, they didn't die from the manna. The manna sustained their lives for 40 years out there in that wilderness. But after that, they died, just like the best-fed person among us will. And I don't know about you, but I've been pretty well fed throughout my lifetime. I wonder if I haven't allowed myself to be fattened for the slaughter. However, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. And this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die." And Jesus said, I'm that living bread. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Something that we will remember in just a minute, that the provision for all we need to survive in the life to come, when we all stand in judgment for what we've done, that provision was provided by our Father, which art in heaven, when Christ Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Folks, how else do you plan on being forgiven? How else do you plan on living forever with Him in heaven? And that's why I say, necessity is more than the mother of invention. Sometimes necessity is just what we need to cause us to surrender this idea of self-sufficiency and to humbly bow our knee and ask our Father, which art in heaven, to give us just what we need, to give us Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we do pray that you will give us what we need. We pray that you will give us Jesus every day, always. And we pray that if there's anyone who has not yet accepted Jesus as their Savior today, they will surrender this idea of self-sufficiency and self-dependency. They will acknowledge they too need your Son Jesus to be saved. We pray they will take your Son Jesus today as their Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're ready to answer that prayer, we would like for you to let us know. You just email us at amen@lvchurch.net, or you click on the next step button and tell us you're ready to begin, and someone will get back with you.